He is risen. That's why we are here this morning. Today, though, we celebrate more than just a historical moment. Today, we celebrate the triumph of Christ over every force of darkness, over sin, over despair, and even over death itself. On the cross, Jesus did not simply endure suffering. He won a decisive victory. And today, in his resurrection, we are all gathered here to declare boldly, Christ has triumphed. But I know there are so many of us here this morning, and many of us came in with new clothes and smiles and we're putting on a brave face. But the truth is, a lot of us carry the weight of silent endings. A dream gone quiet, a relationship that's been lost, a part of yourself that you thought would never come back. Maybe it's been a long time since you felt anything sacred or hopeful. Maybe you've been numb for so long that all of this just feels like another holiday. Well, I want to speak to a particular part of your heart and mind. I want to speak to the part of you that still dares to wonder, what if, like on Good Friday, this right now is not the end? Easter is not a story of God finally being satisfied. It's the story of love refusing to lose. Christ has triumphed, and we are invited to live in his victory. From the earliest days of the Christian church, Christians understood Jesus' death and resurrection not just as forgiveness, but also as freedom, as liberation. This week in our own home group, we took communion together, and before that, we looked at the Passover and what it meant to the Jews and what it means in Jesus' new covenant. Why is the Passover the thing to which we look? Because the Passover is the celebration, not of not going to hell, but the celebration of liberation. And my friends, Easter is the new Exodus. This is why the early Christians used a phrase when referring to the work of Christ. That phrase is Christus Victor. It's Latin and it simply means Christ the Victor. And in this vision, Jesus doesn't merely pay a debt or take away punishment. He confronts and defeats the powers that bind the human soul. Sin, which shames and enslaves us. Fear, which keeps us from living fully and being fully alive to who we were meant to be. Death, which threatens to erase us. Violence and injustice, which crush the vulnerable and defined communities. Paul, in fact, describes this vision beautifully in Colossians 2, verses 3 through 15. We won't read the whole verse, but we'll summarize parts of it. I believe that's in your notes. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. Everyone say, made you alive. Oh, love that call and response. And what I want you to notice is this statement is a declaration that is rooted in past tense language. You are not waiting to be made alive. I'm not going to throw out three simple steps, and if you follow them, then God will resurrect you and make you alive. No, the question isn't whether or not you're alive or dead. The question is whether or not the resurrection life that flows through your veins, are you aware of it, or do you live in ignorance of it and therefore live as if it isn't true? Christus Victor. God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us, he has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. Verse 15, such a beautiful verse. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. That's the gospel, my friends. Thank you, Sharon. There's something beautiful about my friend who's gone through a long healing journey that's here in a wheelchair while she practices every day to get up and walk, and she's every day walking into the miracle of her resurrection and healing, and yet enthusiastically applauds at the victory of Christ. My friends, we've got to remember Jesus stepped into the worst of human experience, abandonment, humiliation, suffering, and he walks out of the tomb, not just alive, but victorious. And this changes everything because Christ is victor. We don't live toward victory. We live from victory. Now, even though Christ has triumphed, we still feel the ache of those unfinished stories. We still live in a world where darkness sometimes seems to win. We read headlines that feel like Good Friday never ended. We lose people we love. We wrestle with depression. We wrestle with addiction. We wrestle with conflict, and we wrestle with confusion. And some of us here this very morning might be thinking, if Christ won, why do I still feel so stuck? Why do I still feel so sad? Why do I still feel so uncertain? Well, let me say this gently but clearly. The resurrection is not magic. It is movement. The resurrection isn't magic. It is movement. Jesus' resurrection is the beginning of a whole new creation. It is a down payment on what has been established, what is being built, and what is yet to come. And that means we live in the tension between the world as it is and the world as it is becoming right before our very eyes. The world as it is becoming, as we are invited to participate to help midwife that same becoming. Jesus' resurrection is the beginning, in the words of the New Testament, of a new creation. It's a down payment on what's coming. And even though we live this in this tension, Easter means this: darkness has lost its power. Regardless of what we feel, regardless of the narratives we rehearse, regardless of how those moments in which it still feels dark and we feel stuck, the gospel and the triumph of Christ really does mean darkness has lost its power. That means sin doesn't get to name you, death doesn't get to own you, and fear doesn't get to define you. As John 10:10 says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Or as some translations wonderfully declare, and have it abundantly. My friends, this is not just a future promise. It is a present invitation. Now, if we're going to talk about Christ's triumph over darkness, we're going to celebrate he is risen and talk about the resurrection. There's a word that's connected with these ideas that we've all heard, and that word is salvation. I want to take just a moment and talk about that word because it's a word that is often misunderstood. My friends, salvation is not about where you go when you die. Salvation is about how you live while you're alive. It is not about escaping the world. It is, in fact, about being restored in the world. To be saved is simply to be made whole. To be saved is to come home. To be saved is to be able to settle down and hear the voice of God say, you are mine, you are loved, and you are free. It is not a transaction. It is a transformation. It's not a moral legal loophole. It is a healing and a liberation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 joyfully proclaims, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, and baby, the new is here. Sorry, I was reading out of the Message translation. It uses the word baby a lot. The new is here. It is not what we're aspiring to. It's not what we're striving for. What the Holy Spirit is trying to get us to understand, it is not up to us to bring it or create it. It is up to us to recognize it and learn how to live in the flow of that new kingdom that is already here. In fact, I love what Colossians 1 says. He is, meaning Christ, before all things. And in him, all things hold together. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. The fullness of God dwelt in Christ, and through him he reconciled to himself all things. Let that truth settle down into your mind and soul. Meditate and dwell on it until it erodes the power of the lies of incompleteness that we tend to give ourselves to and believe. My dear friends, God is not distant. God is not angry with the world he's made. Did you catch that? What Jesus did was bring the work of reconciliation. God is not angry with the world he's made. His heart is not bent on punishment. It is broken open with love. The mystery of the cross is not about wrath. It is about reconciliation. Not about divine distance, but divine closeness. In Christ, all things hold together, even the things inside us that feel shattered, scattered, or lost. This is a God who bleeds to make peace, who enters the chaos not to destroy, but rather to redeem. A God whose fullness was not held back, but rather it was poured out so that everything broken could be gathered back home again. God's desire is not to cast us off. It is to gather all things, every wound, every sorrow, every sin, every soul into his peace. The cross is not the end or the judgment of the world. It is the beginning of its healing and being brought back together. Jesus did not die to change God's mind about you. He died to change your mind about God, so that you could see clearly what religious tradition had obscured. To show us that love is stronger than death, that fear does not get the final word, that the worst thing that happened to you is not the last thing that defines you. Now let me ask you a very personal question. Where does it feel like death in your life? If we're going to celebrate resurrection, you've got to name the death that you're aching God to resurrect, aching for God to resurrect. Where does it feel like death in your life? Where have you stopped hoping? Where are you afraid to believe again? Where have you built a tomb and laid something precious to rest? Maybe your joy, maybe your passion, your creativity. Maybe it was your prayer life. Maybe it was your trust. Maybe it was your heart. Because Easter isn't just about what happened to Jesus. It's about what is now possible for you in light of this glorious truth that he is risen. What if for just a moment, resurrection isn't just a story about Jesus? What if it's intended to be a story about you as well? I think the words of Paul, the way he says what I just said, is being made alive with Christ. So it's not just Christ's resurrection. It is also your resurrection. What if the place that you feel most dead, that place where you feel most ashamed, most bitter, most numb, is the very place love wants to rise? The very place where love wants to shine its resurrected victorious power. My friends, the tomb is empty. Therefore, you don't have to fix yourself. You don't have to prove anything, and you certainly don't have to earn what's already been freely offered. But resurrection isn't magic. It is movement, and it's a movement that invites you to respond and move in kind. You have to listen for the whisper that reminds you, this is not the end. So, what if you're here out of obligation? It's okay, you are welcome here. All I want you to do as we get ready to come to a close is to be honest. Take a moment of honest self-reflection. And if there is something inside you that is stirring, don't rush past it. That ache, that longing, that curiosity, don't ignore it. That's resurrection actively searching for you. This is not a message of fear. This is not a guilt-driven appeal. This is an invitation to trust in the freedom and love that Christ has already secured. And if you feel ready to respond, here's just a simple, honest way that you might consider beginning. It's right in your notes. Just a simple prayer that might look something like this. God, I don't have all the answers, but I want to walk with you. I want to live in light of this love, this freedom, this new life. Show me what it means to walk in your victory. My friends, faith is not the absence of doubt. It's the courage to take the next step. And whether that's a step you're taking for the first time, or if you find yourself among those of us who pursued Christ at one time, was deeply wounded by either theology, church people, or religion itself, and you thought, maybe I need to walk away, would you reconsider not rejecting Christ with the institution that rejected you? They are not the same thing. So if you want to follow through here, just in closing are a few steps. Number one, start small and just stay open. Return to prayer again. Just a very simple prayer life. Talk to God in your own words. This is not about sophistication or spirituality. It is about consistently learning to hold space to open up your heart again. Just start a simple practice of prayer. Rejoin or join the journey. Come back next Sunday. Make space in your week for something sacred. Just 2 hours of your week that's not exclusively about you, but that reminds you that there's a much bigger story than the story of your life that you are being invited to participate in. As that great theologian, Uncle Walt Whitman, said, that the powerful play goes on and you may contribute a verse. Ask for support. Let somebody know you're searching. You're not meant to do this alone. And finally, number four, live from resurrection. What does that mean? It means that every time you forgive, every time you show mercy, every time you stand up for someone, or every single time you choose joy, you are walking in the victory of Christ. And you are among friends. We are building a community of people who are learning to live from resurrection, not toward it. A community where questions are welcome, where wounds are tended, and where hope is practiced. I want to close by speaking just a brief blessing litany over your life. So take a moment now. Close your eyes if you feel comfortable. Take a couple of just real deep breaths and let it out. Just sigh it out. Come out of your tomb. Come out of your silence. Come out of your shame. Come out of the fear that says you're all alone. Come out of the lie that says it's too late. The stone is already rolled away. You are already loved. Yes, my friends, you are already loved. You're already wanted. You are already free. Would you pray with me? Risen Lord, today we celebrate your victory. You disarmed fear, shame, and death. Let us walk in your light with courage. Make us people of hope, forgiveness, and healing. Awaken us to resurrection possibilities and empower us to live like people who have been set free. May our lives say to the world, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. And Lord, for those among us who may be here searching, longing, wondering, recognizing the whisper of faith amid the shout of doubt, we ask, Lord, that the doubt and fear would be silenced and the sound of the Holy Spirit would rise from a whisper to a crescendo. We ask, God, because we believe you've risen and your resurrection is real, that the living Christ still walks among us today. We pray you would encounter every soul at the very point at which they are most in desperately need of mercy, grace, and liberation. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.